Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. So I'm Donna Netwig, and I'm a lifelong entrepreneur, and my show is Women on the Journey, Tales from the Trenches. And I interview women that are building and learning. And I'm trying to create deep conversations and sharing, because I think this is where possible solutions, new perspectives, understandings, and tips for the journey of life and business really bubble up from. And I'm so excited. Our leading lady today is Dr. Mel Palomares. Hopefully I said that correctly, Mel, who is taking her education, her experience, and dedication to really help eliminate cancer. Good morning, Dr. Mel, and could you please tell us a little about your background and what brought you to this point in your career?
Good morning, Donna. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and support what you're doing. I started actually humbly in a small town named Laura, South Carolina, and I decided to follow the footsteps of my parents, who were both physicians from the Philippines. So I ended up going to medical school and choosing internal medicine and then later hematology and oncology. And that was really influenced by a great teacher who I just wanted to be like him. He had great bedside manner, and I followed him into a volunteering at a hospice. And in that experience, I learned that I was not fearful of death and that I could be with people who were grieving. And I thought, geez, that might be a sign, because I'm not sure how common that is. So that's how I ended up going to oncology. But during my training in oncology, I was on call with helping a patient who was having more side effects from their treatment. He had gone through a bone marrow transplant and had all the side effects from that. And I was venting, really, with my attending physician the next day. And he said to me, but he's cancer-free. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with, yes, we help this person become cancer-free, but what is his quality of life? And then shortly after that, I heard a person talk about something called chemo prevention, which is taking something, a substance. It could be a supplement. It doesn't have to be even a medication, but taking something to prevent disease. And it was the first time I ever heard about cancer chemo prevention. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is what I want to do. I went back to graduate school to study epidemiology, which is the study of disease, the cause of disease, and cancer genetics, and then launched this career, initially in academia, and now I'm in business for myself.
Wow, so years and years of training for this. Chemo prevention, I have never heard that before. So is that exactly how it sounds? Is it to avoid chemo, prevention before chemo, or could you explain that just a little?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. So chemo prevention and chemotherapy are really broad terms. Chemotherapy is taking anything, medication or natural substance, for the therapy of a disease, to treat a disease, and chemo prevention is for preventing disease. These terms existed long before chemotherapy became connected to treatments for cancer. Yeah, so chemo prevention was actually initially termed in the 1970s after cancer chemotherapy became a thing in the 1950s. But yes, it was the first time I heard about it too, and then I thought, oh, this is the way my current world, which was medical oncology, could merge with my desire, which was to move ahead of this awful disease.
Oh, excellent. So then I heard you first went into academia, but you now have a cancer prevention program. So how did that transition occur?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So I chose a career that combined patient care and research, and that is best done in academia, I believe, and that's certainly where I started. So I was first at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle and then spent 10 years on the faculty at City of Hope here in the Los Angeles area. And one day I received a text while I was in my office, and it was regarding the health of my husband. And that day just changed my life. Yeah, so for personal reasons, I needed to back away from my career as I had built it, spent 10 years building. That was quite a grieving process in doing that.
I bet.
Yeah, and needed to take on a position that had less responsibility for the time being. What I didn't realize was that was going to be a blessing in disguise. By separating from the traditional medical hospital-based system, I realized, Melanie is my first name, so Melanie, what are you doing? You want to help healthy people stay healthy. Healthy people are not going to cancer centers. And so then I realized that the traditional system was probably not going to be the best place for me to reach, have the reach that I wanted to have in the general population.
Wow. Life and its surprises, right?
That's right.
I love that. Right. So so tell us a little about the cancer risk prevention program you do have.
Yes. So when I was at City of Hope, I had a program that focused on women and their women that were at increased risk for predominantly breast cancers, but any women's cancers, so some of them had gynecologic cancer. They were mostly at the highest risk, so usually they had a hereditary component, which actually is only 5 to 10% of cancers, believe it or not.
I want to at that moment because I hear so many people, I'm sorry, but everybody says, well, it runs in the family, and they live with this assumable close that these are the things that are going to happen to them physically, and that breaks my heart. So I didn't realize it was, what did you just say, 5 to 10%?
5 to 10%, and yes, that's honestly, when people come to see me with a family history, I get to give them good news most of the time. And that's awesome as an oncologist that is used to working with bad news.
Right.
So at the time, I actually initiated with the genetics group, and we were exclusively dealing with individuals with genetic cancer risk. Based on my experience in Seattle, where the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center is, I wanted to have a broader reach and chose to have my clinic also accept individuals that had precancerous lesions. So along the 5 to 20 years that it takes for cancer to develop, there are actually signs that if we're diligent enough, we can catch it at that point. And it's not life-threatening, but there are a lot of preventive recommendations at that point. So that is when I brought in like that. And then now I have an affiliation with the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. I myself have been through healthy transformation, losing weight and maintaining healthy habits. And I decided to incorporate that as well. So now I'm offering anything from lifestyle intervention to medical intervention to genetic intervention, depending on one's risk profile. So that's what we do at the Cancer Prevention Movement.
Okay. And this, you are the founder of this business, and you have been doing this for how long? The cancer risk prevention?
Well, that's a good question. I would say that the idea started in 2014. It's now 2020. I made the move, actually started acting on it, on those ideas in 2018. But I would say I've only been actively seeing individuals since last year. So startup is a is a long thing, and there's a lot of, I guess, mindset blocks that new entrepreneurs have to learn to navigate.
Absolutely, and this always fascinates me. And there's a lot of starts and stops along the way that people don't ever realize, and life happens. And, I mean, I've seen people with clients that I've worked with, they had to stop in the interim and take a job and rethink, because finding that sweet spot about what you want to do and what people need, and to have that overlap so that you're really creating a difference, is not always that easy to happen. So you were saying your husband got cancer, and then this is what shifted you out of academia and the world you were in. So did that take years, or what happened with that, if you don't mind sharing with us?
No, I don't mind. However, he did not have cancer. That was not his illness. It was it had to do with addiction. So to preserve his confidentiality, I won't go into it
exactly
too much, but but yeah, he had an addiction, and it really it involved us outside of medicine, and there were a lot of financial and legal consequences that I was dealing with from I'd say 2012 until now.
So that had a lot to do with slowing your pace of really digging into this business of yours, I can imagine.
Yes, and then in the interim, my father had a cancer diagnosis, same year, actually. And and then a few years later, I found an early cancer. Basically, I benefit from my own knowledge, but I believe that even though I got my own habits healthy just before then, I wasn't so much quite a bit before then, and also my stress level was really high. So I think all of those things contributed, but luckily I knew how to intervene.
Oh, beautiful. Good. Now, we've had a conversation, and you said that one in two people now will be diagnosed with cancer. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, it's one in two men and one in three women are diagnosed in their lifetime. And so we are living longer, so it's not almost 50% all at once. It's spread over our lives. However, that's a lot of time where we have an opportunity to intervene.
Absolutely. So with your cancer risk prevention, what exactly is your process? If somebody wanted to work with you to take control of their lives and really do all they can for prevention, what is your process? How do you work with people?
Yes, I'd love to share that, but first I want to say who. So who are you appropriate, because the listeners are probably wondering, is this for me? And so you can imagine, if nearly one in two Americans are getting cancer in their lifetime, who of that is at risk? And it really is, it starts with our normal cells, so we kind of all are at risk, but I would say who should move forward is the people that are motivated to learn about what your risk is. Because if you're not willing to do, well, first learn and then be willing to take the steps. Because if you're not willing to implement what we talk about, then it doesn't make so much sense to move forward at this time. That being said, I don't recommend delaying, but maybe work on getting one's mindset into being proactive and intervening sooner than later. So it could be family history. It could be that a family, you watched a family member suffer. It could be that your best friend in high school got cancer. It could be that you yourself had a cancer scare. Those are good times when people are highly motivated. Mm-hmm. So that
they open
that
up,
is,
right?
I want to make sure I reach.
They open
up quite
for
easily.
Learning.
Yeah, I wish that we were all more proactive than that. But until we have a societal change where people are more prevention-oriented than reactive to an event in their lives, I want to at least make sure that the people that are motivated and have those examples that I just mentioned, that they act today. And then to answer your first question, which is how, people started our website, which is cancerriskprevention.com. The business is called Cancer Prevention Movement because I believe that in reaching just a few that we can cause this sea change I talk about. But
right.
For now, as individuals, I hope all the listeners go to cancerriskprevention.com and click on your cancer risk and learn about your risk by taking our 10-question assessment. It's very easy.
Excellent.
And then you get an email back whether it is appropriate for you to seek my advice. It's possible that that you're already doing absolutely fine and you don't need me. And so this questionnaire helps individuals learn whether this is appropriate for them at this time or not.
Excellent. I love that. So let's talk a little bit more about the business of your business. So you said there were like fits and starts. You started in 2014. So what was your learning? What were your fears? What were the issues that made you start and stop? What was happening in that area? And what did you learn from that? Because I always think this is where people learn, you know, the little hiccups and the mistakes and the misconceptions that make us revisit what we're doing when we start a business.
Right. So I started having ideas in 2014. I did not act on them until 2018. So I would say, what was I facing? I thought I wasn't enough, basically, that there wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough of me to act. I didn't know enough. Those were my initial things because I was at the time dealing with the issues surrounding the marital issues and the financial and legal things that were associated with that.
Right.
And then over time, it was, oh, gosh, I just went through that. I don't have the money. I don't have – now my credit has been harmed that I can't financially handle this. And so I kept thinking I'll wait until my divorce is over. And here, 7 years later, it's still not over.
Oh, my God.
And so, yes. So one could ask, why are you so crazy that you are moving forward? And my answer is that I made a declaration. I published my first book in 2017, also after thinking about it for a long time and then finally acting. When that was launched, my publisher asked me to make a bold statement, and I said cancer will cease to exist as we know it by the year 2030. And as it became closer to 2020, I realized, I just can't wait. I have to do something. That, as MLK said, that if you can run, run. If you can walk, walk. But if you can only crawl, then just crawl. Just move forward. And so, I made that commitment to myself to get started.
That is wonderful. I love that story. And it's all about, I always talk about imperfect action, action in execution. changes everything. But I also heard in all of that, you changed your perception about this whole legal issue.
Yes.
Because from what I just heard, it sounded as though it was consuming you, and then you just were able to release it. And women have this huge, particularly women, of not good enough. There also is a perfectionism in there. Did you have this perfectionism in you, and what have you done? And the reason I'm asking this is that you gave me, we were talking, and you gave me the greatest quote about yourself that I really loved, and you said, I am now all in, and it's going to be messy. Tell us about that.
I like to call myself a former certified recovering perfectionist, and I actually get to face that huge wall every day because I want things to be in order, but I get to be in action anyway. As I mentioned, I am still going through what has now been a divorce and the legal ramifications of that. And it really came down to what I desired most. And it really, my vision is a cancer-free world. And people may think that's crazy, but I actually believe it's possible.
Why not?
Like, I 100% believe it's possible. And I'm not under any delusion that it's all up to me, but I am also completely committed to be a fire starter. And I get emotional about it, so excuse me.
Oh,
on that.
Said. Beautiful.
Yeah, and so that passion is what pushes me, that I face that desire to be perfect and say, forget it. It gets to be messy because I have to move forward. Otherwise, my dream is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I have to do it anyway, or I get to do it anyway.
Perfect, yes. What is most important to me, and what actions do I need to take to move forward? It's very interesting. I'm hearing the parallel of the who and the what, because you want to work with clients who are motivated and ready to take simple steps to move forward. And that's exactly what you did in your business. You became motivated and passionate enough to start taking those simple steps to move forward. I think that's beautiful.
That's right. It actually started way before that, first with my own health journey and
right.
the weight loss and the sort of dealing with my stress, because the stress never changed. It's still ongoing. But like you said, my perception of it shifted. And so I needed to do that work first before I could really serve others and create what I'm creating now.
Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time. Being an entrepreneur is the ultimate in personal growth and development. It pushes all buttons, personal and business. And if we take the time to learn from that, it's just a beautiful process and just live in that journey. It's the Buddhists say it's not what happens in life, it's how you move through it. And you seem to be a beautiful example of that.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely, I'm still on the journey, absolutely.
Yes. Well, and we all will be, right? We also had a conversation as far as the prevention aspect of it, because time is going so quickly, and I want to talk about connecting with you and more things. But you were talking about taking control of our health, our lives, and how to be proactive, but you used an example with a marble size.
Oh, yes.
Discover a marble size lump. And I'd really love to share that because it's so revealing as far as I'm concerned. Could we talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me to share this, because I think a lot of people do not realize this.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have a vision of cancer as a dirty word. We call it the C word because we don't even want to say the word cancer. But
exactly.
And it's because people envision individuals that have stage 4 cancer that has already spread throughout the body. Now, if we were to move forward or ahead or backward, I guess is really the word, to uh-huh. when that cancer first initiated, it initiated with a single cell. And there are all these mechanisms that our body has to prevent that from causing problems. But eventually they learn how to outsmart our bodies, and unless we take care, really good care of our bodies. And then that cell de-differentiates or forgets how it's supposed to behave and starts dividing uncontrollably. As that occurs, it divides and divides, and this is the reason why it takes so many years for cancer to develop. It really is about a marble size before our current screening techniques can find cancers. There are exceptions to this, but in general, it takes about until it reaches a marble size. And by that time, there's already 100 million cells in that tumor.
Mm.
Yes. And then let's say that we could actually find it at a millimeter size, which is not usually the case. But if we could, that is important because there's a step in prevention where the cancer cells must attract blood cells to it. And if it doesn't, that it cannot grow beyond a millimeter because the cells on the inside of the tumor die at the same rate as it's growing on the outside. So if we could stop at that level, we would actually never know. In fact, it's possible that the listeners now have this going on in their bodies and have no idea. Okay, so, but at that point, there's 100,000 cells already in a pinhead size. And so it's very clear that the only way that we're ever going to get ahead of this disease is to prevent it. And I'm glad that the world is working on finding a cure. I think that's very important, and there will always be a need for that because some individuals, unfortunately, will probably slip through the cracks unless we reach my vision of a cancer-free world. But in the meantime, that's necessary. But if we don't start looking at things and intervening before diagnosis, it's like everyone's falling into a river and no one's looking at what's causing people to fall in the river.
Right.
You know, that we're trying to pull people out of a river and not getting to the real root cause.
Right. So your business is really about interrupting that cancer cell development, right?
That's right.
Right. Okay. Beautiful. Okay. We're going to have to leave at that, but that was really wonderful information. And mm-hmm. so, in case some of our listeners want to reach you after the show, could we go into what is the best way to contact you? And this all will be put on the site afterwards. But if they want to take a note right now, what is the best way to reach you, and what is the process?
Sure. So I mentioned before, but I'll repeat that our website is cancerriskprevention.com, which you can also reach by Googling Cancer Prevention Movement. And our email, our main email box, is at health@cancerriskprevention.com. Or we have a telephone number of 833-363-2627, which if you spell it out, it's 833 and cancer, CNCR.
Okay. And then once they pull up your site, do you want them to send you an email, or do you prefer that they immediately go to this assessment we discussed earlier? What is
the
process?
It serves them the best. I mean, people are welcome to send an email, but I think it would serve them best actually to do the questionnaire first.
Great. Perfect. Okay. That really is the end of our show for today. We're right at the button. So I really, really want to thank you, Dr. Mail. You do go by Dr. Mail, is that correct?
I do.
Thank you for being our leading lady. I love this information, and your cause and your purpose is absolutely beautiful. We really appreciate you. And I want to give a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, because we are an international show. And we'll be back for another Women Lead radio show. We're every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. And it's really been my pleasure to host you today. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you again, Dr. Mel. And
we're
all in this together. So I just say let's share and help pull each other up. And it's just have this kind of straight talk to educate each other and support each other. So thanks again.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.